Before we get into tonight's Sunday night recap of Big Brother, let me take a moment and thank one of our sponsors. Those are our friends over at BetUS. Listen up, sports bettors. Basketball, baseball are back. Football is back. And that's good news for football fans, except for us Jets fans. Time to get down your bets as well. And I can tell you about the best. That is BetUS.com. Why do you ask? BetUS. They are the pioneer in online betting with more than 25 years in the business. You need a sports book with integrity and longevity. And you need to know that you are going to get paid. You need a sports book that offers everything, including live betting, MMA, golf, horses, esports, and all the crazy bets. Call today at 1-800-69-BETUS. That's 1-800-69-BETUS, and they will walk you through setting up an account. Nobody in the industry gives you better bonuses than BETUS. Join now. Mention Rob is a podcast, and you can get up to 150% in bonuses on your first deposit. Nobody beats that. 25 years in the biz, the best bonuses, BETUS. They should be your sports book. BetUS.com. Join today. That's BetUS.com. Join now. Mention Rob is a podcast and you can get up to 150% in bonuses on your first deposit. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's here to disrupt your normal podcast listening once again. I am Rob's sister, Nina. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Sunday night. We are live after the episode. We were all in a time zone where we could check out Big Brother at its regularly scheduled time. If you were delayed by football, maybe you're listening to this later on. Welcome to you as well. We're here to talk about everything from the Sunday night wall comp, Danny's nominations, Kevin and David on the block, but a lot more to discuss as well as we bring in all the action from the weekend. Of course, we're back here with a man who does not miss a beat all weekend long. Here is Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm great, Rob. You know, I'm the kind of guy.
Yeah.
You swing at me, you best not miss.
No.
Unless I swing at myself, then it's okay to miss.
Yes. Is that like when Ian kicked himself in the head?
It's just like that.
Yeah. Would you say that Tyler did take a swing at himself last week and missed?
Yes.
Okay. Watch out. Yeah. Watch out.
That's the thing. Okay. That's the thing. You can swing at Tyler and miss. He just proved it to you last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll talk about everything going on with Tyler and much more here tonight. Of course, back with us here. Very excited to be joined by the host, Kowalski Cast. Here she is, the great Frail Mary is here. Frail Mary.
Hi, you know, I'm the kind of woman who goes 6 weeks and has talked this much strategy with anyone in the house.
I thought you were going to say you're the kind of woman who goes 6 weeks and then moves.
And then moves. Both accurate.
Makes big moves. Bigger moves than we've seen thus far in Big Brother 22.
Yes, I try. You know, I think we, at this point, you know, any kind of move would be appreciated. Big move, small move, medium move.
Okay.
I'd accept any of those.
Any of those. All right. We're also excited to have here with us tonight to talk about everything that's going on and talk about the house guests a little bit. Christian Robinson is here. Christian, how are you?
I'm good. You know, unlike Tyler, I'm hoping that I can control the evil spirits from coming out of my mouth. I'm happy to be here.
All right. Well, Christian, we're happy to have you on board. Christian is a clinical mental health counselor, and I'm hoping that you'll be able to bring some of your insight, both to help us discuss the house guests and then also do a check-in on all of us that have been covering the season thus far.
It's only fitting. The last time I was here, I was talking about Nicole A's anxiety. And so here we are.
Okay. All right. Well, happy to have you on board, Christian. And happy to have you joining us live as well. I posted a tweet on Twitter. Of course, the only place to put tweets, unless you're one of those people that puts them on Instagram. Of course, you can reply and then let us know your questions for later on in the show. Okay. Big wall comp. Spend 30 minutes on the wall comp here tonight. For some of those markets that were delayed by football, they probably could have just jumped in right after the wall comp.
Yeah, they should have cut the first half out of the episode.
Yes, join us. We will now join Big Brother, already in progress. Congratulations, Danny. You're the new HOH.
Yeah. This World Cup, not only was it long, is it just me or is this one of the least exciting setups we've seen in a really long time? Mm-hmm. I mean, no goo, no bird poop.
You were missing the slime.
No band coming in. Didn't they like have people throwing stuff at them once? They just need something. It was like a billboard and that was it. Mm-hmm. On a blacktop rooftop, I guess.
What they were missing was that criminally they cut out all of Christmas's coaching from the sidelines. Like, she was giving inspirational speeches, tips and tricks for how to do well. I don't know why they would have cut out that glorious content.
Yeah, it was no Dan Gieseling coaching everybody up a la BB10.
Yes.
It was certainly no Dan Gieseling. Yes.
On Twitter, I might add, I made that. Yes.
Christian, that they did have something. They had the coldest water of all time.
So cold. You know, there's snow being melted cold, and then there's BB water cold. I thought it was interesting. I mean, the different layers of clothing that they were wearing. Like, I felt like Daybon was pretty smart coming in with a rain jacket compared to some of the tank tops I was seeing. So I figured, like, she had to be a little bit warmer, but we, you know, that didn't end up too well. But yeah, it was interesting to see. I mean, everybody was shivering by then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Taryn, that the Big Brother fans know just how much cold water any given Big Brother season can throw at us.
Yes, all the time.
We come in red hot, and they've got such cold water to throw at us every season.
It's a wall comp. It's anything could happen. This is gonna be a crazy week. And then Big Brother's like, spritzer water. It's coming at you
in your mouth. Yeah.
And then it's done.
Yeah.
Well, this is, you know, this was the problem the first several weeks in the house. They didn't have any hot water, and I think maybe they just had saved up a vat of this really cold water for this competition, and that's what they were feeding through the pipes for the showers as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Two birds, one stone here.
It seemed like nobody wanted to be HOH also, Mary.
Yes. I mean, I think we saw Daevon not really want to win comps or be HOH, and she seems fairly well protected by a lot of people. And then, of course, the people who want to be HOH, such as Kevin, are just going to be out of luck in this situation. And even when he got down to the end, Danny's like, great, I made it to the final three, don't want to be HOH. You got to learn to jump faster then. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a quick test to just see who can fall the fastest.
Yeah, Taryn, can you talk that through? So we got to the end and we had where it was Danny, Cody, and Nicole. And so was there some like order of like, was Danny just trying to outlast Tyler? And then she was ready to drop off, but Cody wanted to stay. Cody says, okay, Nicole is off. Now I'll drop off. Nicole is like, okay, well, I don't want this, so I should drop off now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Danny going into this competition was conflicted about whether or not she wanted to win in the first place. She wanted to throw it because she felt her position was good enough that she should. But she was concerned that if she didn't start winning competitions, then she wouldn't be respected in the end, because juries nowadays respect competitions so much. So she hadn't fully, I think, decided, like, I'm definitely throwing it. And so I think she knew the one thing she wanted was to outlast Tyler. And then once she did, I think she was probably like in her mind, like, okay, now what do I do? It's probably too soon to throw now. That gives me more time to think about whether or not I really want to throw this. And by the time she, you know, could have done anything, both Cody and Nicole were like, all right, see ya. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was wild, Christian, because it seemed like that Cody was like, okay, well, now that Nicole is off, that I should get off. That do you feel like that Cody really, did he just really not want to be HOH, or was he trying to make sure he outlasted Nicole?
I mean, it seems pretty smart, right? Like, out of the three of them, he's the only one who has like the blood on his hands. And so by throwing it to either Danny or Nicole, it seemed like a smart move, but nobody wanted it. So it was just like this weird catch-22 for all of them.
Mm-hmm. I just don't know who he was trying to outlast.
I don't think he was trying to outlast anyone in particular. He was fine with Tyler, Danny, or Nicole all winning. He just didn't want Kevin to win. As soon as Kevin dropped, Cody was fine. I think Cody just didn't think he was going to win because he his body type doesn't win this kind of competition. Mm-hmm. And so he was just kind of hanging in there, wanting it to look good. But then as soon as Nicole dropped, he was like, whoa, hold on. And so then he decided to go.
Mary, how about Davon, who dropped off and then I guess like David, she can do fake crying also. She says that she was acting.
I mean, I love the acting. I love the confessional. I liked the fake tears. I do think, though, if you don't think you're going to win, it's always nice to say, oh, I'm throwing it. I'm seen as someone who can't win competitions in the house, which is true. But that doesn't mean you need to be seen as someone who can't last 2 minutes in a competition either. Like, throwing competitions, there's a very fine line of what looks like you're throwing it and what doesn't. And at the point she fell, I mean, I know there's been some blowback, at least a little bit in the house about, oh, she's, you know, There's oh, she never wins, and then there's, oh, she's useless. And that's kind of a thing that she's battling here at the moment. But as a viewer, I'm loving the fake tears, and I really think that she had the correct read that she did not need to win this and was going to be okay for the most part.
Yeah, Taryn, was it that did she throw it, or did she fall and then did acting of that she was more upset that she didn't win?
So she did mention to Bailey that the only person she was worried about winning HOH was David. So she was planning on throwing the HOH competition. She just wanted to make sure David wasn't going to win. So I was expecting her to wait until David dropped and then drop herself. But she drops pretty early. I don't have any reason to like fully not believe that she threw this one. But I do disagree with the move for her to throw this HOH. I do not think she was in a position to throw it. I think there are a lot of scenarios where she could have been somebody who goes home this week. And I don't know that she knows that, but they definitely exist. And on top of that, she needs to start winning things. She needs to start getting some traction, some power in the game, if she wants to move things in her favor and not be at the behest of everyone else.
Okay. Yes, Christian.
Oh, I was going to say, like, I was living for Queen Day's fake tears. But also, I mean, I was just like going into this week, once I saw that it was a wall competition, there was maybe a 1-2% chance that Davon was ever going to win that. Right. Like, that's just not the challenge for her. So I was just kind of upset that she like fell off so soon into the competition, because she still could have fallen off second or third or fourth and still come across as weak or feeling like people couldn't trust her in winning competitions. But to go off so quickly, I was just kind of disappointed.
Okay. We get Danny. She's our winner of the wall comp. This is her competition. Now it's up to Danny to decide, what do you want to do? Very quickly, we see her with Nicole, who is happy to see Danny end up being the HOH. She should not see the block this week. Taryn, was Nicole, I would think that she would be a little happier. Is this a fallout from sort of like the love triangle stuff?
Nicole also feels very safe in the game. But she has not been happy with Danny. That morning of the HOH competition, she was comparing some notes with Cody about things that Danny was saying to both of them. And she said about Danny, ultimate betrayal. That yes. Danny would be trying to be Cody's number one and her number one, and trying to tell Cody things before she had a chance to, so that Danny would be closer to Cody than she was. And she was very unhappy about that. So she was unhappy about that. She also that night later was, you know, talked to about the Ian situation. So Nicole had a lot of reasons to not be happy.
Yes. When you said ultimate betrayal, I thought she must have jumped up and scared her. So that's the ultimate betrayal in the Big Brother house.
Yeah. Well, being led into the scare, I think, is the real betrayal.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we see Danny with Davon. Tells Davon, you can relax. That Davon, you are not going up on the block this week, so that Davon doesn't have to worry about going out back to back with Bailey. But Davon talks with David and asks, "How close are you with Danny?" Not close.
Yeah, not good. There's, when I look at this, it's like you've, based on everything we've seen so far, and we know that there's stuff between Danny and Tyler, have both targeted each other. But besides that, it seems very clear that, at least from the audience perspective, you've got four people who are more on the outs than everyone else. You've got Davon, David, Kevin, and Ian.
Yes.
And the four of them are the least connected. And I thought it was very interesting how this episode edited and showed or didn't show each of them and their different sort of sides. You got a lot of Kevin, obviously worried about going up. David is so into his power
yeah.
that he's not even looking at the bigger picture of like, oh, I'm not good with these people. I don't have a game plan. It's fine though, because I have a power and I can save myself this one week. So, you know, keeping everything just one step at a time, focused on this one bit.
Yeah.
And he's playing, you know, the most masterful game of hiding the fact that he has this power from anyone.
Christian,
he doesn't need allies. Why share?
Do you feel that David played this in a way because he wants to go up on the block so he gets the chance to flex the disruptor power?
I mean, I feel like if you're going to do that, you do that on the last week that you can use it, right? Like, if that was truly his MO, it's just going to waste this week. I just feel like he understands, or not even that he understands, because he's so frustrating to watch. Mm-hmm. I've just had to make comedy out of it. He's just rolling with the punches. And if he gets thrown up, he's going to play it.
Yeah.
But he's really committed to the bit. So
yes.
I'm impressed.
I think the move is, if you know that you're going to go up on the block, you have nothing left to lose at that point. You say to the HOH, look, I've got a power. I can protect somebody on the block. I can only use it for one more week after this one. If you don't put me up, I will use my power to save you next week if you need it.
And that's what Cody and Jessica tried to do with the whole halting hex thing. Like, it doesn't always work, but you might as well try. All of my notes are so much all caps of people who, there's like the people who don't really know they're on the bottom, but then you've got Kevin and David who are being used as pawns or even potential targets over and over and over. At this point, it's week six. You've got nothing to lose. Stop trying to just stay safe one week at a time. Go ahead and, yeah, talk to the HOH that you have a power. Kevin, when Danny says they might put you up, fight it hard. And even if it looks like you're still going to go up anyway, you know, people are so... Sorry, they're telling me to turn the caps off, Mary, in the chat.
You were so animated that was like a figurative, like, hey, turn the caps off, Mary. We can hear you fine.
Yeah, but I just think, like, if this point, instead of trying to stay safe one week at a time and just not be, you know, be the pawn and not the actual target, when you know that you're the pawn over and over, you know that you don't actually have a game relationship with these people and you need to find something. But, you know, you lost all your allies already. Mm-hmm. It's just frustrating. Yeah,
and this just is like the perfect example of like David is just playing checkers in a game of chess. Like he's just getting outplayed and outmaneuvered and he thinks that he's doing something, but it's not working. He's not pulling anything on anyone.
I mean, the only season David watched was season 21, and this is a move that was made in season 21. Christy and Cliff made a deal that was beneficial to them both, that developed a relationship between the two of them that stemmed from the power, and it allowed Christy to retain her power and have it for longer. So,
but was he still watching then?
He watched. Yeah, I mean, he knows about what happened in the season. So you know, I don't think he took notes or anything. But
Okay. We're gonna see Danny working with Davon about what do you want to do? And Davon has a plan. Oh, I got it. How about Tyler and Christmas? Well, let's put Tyler up on the block with his untouchable. How about that? What do you think about that plan, Danny? She's like, I played so hard last time. I don't think I could do it. Okay. Christian, could you talk that through in terms of from Danny's perspective? The she's she's a little scarred from the Big Brother 13 big move. She doesn't want to necessarily do that here.
Right. And I think, I mean, what does that do for her in the long run? Like, I think that, like, Christmas isn't necessarily somebody that she needs to burn right now. Even Tyler, I wouldn't say, is somebody that she needs to burn right now. And so it seems just like they've backed themselves into this corner where Kevin and David are realistically, like, the only two, like, easy options. And, like, we can talk about how optically that looks. But, like, she doesn't really, she has her hands tied, and anything else is going to blow up this game, not blow it up, but like help ruin the perception that she's running this game that she's sitting on right now. Like she feels so confident in where she's sitting, and she can't do anything to mess that up. And I think putting Christmas or even Tyler up for the initial nominations would do that.
All right. Danny is going to need to talk to Cody about what's going on. And Danny floats past Cody about, we should maybe... talking about Tyler, what should we do about Tyler? Maybe put him on the block. And Cody follows in the footsteps of Julie Chen Moonves, because this is what Cody has to say.
Put him on the block. Just kidding.
Kidding. Kidding.
I'm kidding.
I'm kidding.
Don't put Tyler on the block.
Yeah, this is portrayed pretty accurately here. Cody has a lot of influence over what Danny decides to do. As he explained, it is not in his best interest for Tyler to go home, let alone touch the block. So he is essentially saying, do not put Tyler up. And he wants to be as light as possible with this touch. And so he's saying, okay, well, maybe we'll consider some kind of future backdoor plan. Unaware of the fact that when David goes up, he will have a disruptor power and Danny will have to make another choice on the spot. He does not realize that he needs to defend Tyler against that. So we're going to have to see where that goes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We go to commercial, then we come back, and then we go right into the pranking Cody bit. And it was very funny, but Cody gets very mad about this. I feel like this really was not a great move for Davon to be the accomplice to lure Cody into a trap.
Well, it wasn't good for Davon with Cody, but it was probably pretty good for Davon with Danny helping her. We scared someone. We bond. You know, this is, you ultimately betrayed him and I ultimately betrayed him. We're tied now, the two of us.
Yeah.
Let's take out Cody. That's no. But look, it's not great. Let's just, pranks are fun, but never great strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Taryn's going to come at me with like the most brilliant prank in the BB history that was great strategy.
Yes, here it is. I'm waiting for Danny to start talking about how Mike Booger once said that you can bounce checks in the Big Brother house, which is why it's okay that she's going to do a move this week, because she won a wall competition. She is putting up people on the block that aren't necessarily beneficial to her game, but are useful for other people. Now she's doing scare pranks. It's like I'm watching James Hewling again.
She's going to run for mayor.
Are we prepared for a mayoral candidate run? Are we prepared for America's favorite player, Danny, the Davon Mack? Where are we going with all this?
I don't know. She hasn't been talking about Taylor Swift enough for that, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Wait till Wednesday when she comes back to the CMAs on CBS.
Yeah.
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 Christian, what do you think about the cost benefits analysis for Davon? On the plus side, she bonds with Danny. On the downside, she is an accomplice to scare Cody, and Cody's like, "Oh, she tricked me."
Yeah, I mean, this is just evidence that Cody can use for his confirmation bias whenever he gets HOH or is in power again. We can be like, "I don't trust Davon. She's up. She's pulling tricks in the house, so I'm just going to put her up or put her in a place of danger. I'm just going to throw her under the bus." So I feel, just because it's more likely that Cody's going to come back into power than Danny, that it might not have been the best. But again, it's a little prank.
Yes.
Okay. What about this?
Cody wasn't actually mad. He was.
I don't know if we're doing a bit here.
But this could be our only real interesting bit of strategy from the episode. What about this? What if Devon had told Cody about the prank, but then told him to act scared? Now she's good with both of them.
That's smart. I like that. I like that. Okay.
There it is.
Kevin had a lot of airtime in this episode. There was a lot of Kevin segments leading up to Kevin going up on the block. Kevin had a very interesting segment where he's talking in the kitchen about how he hopes that he is making the LGBTQ community proud. And I thought this was an interesting conversation. And he tells us in the diary room about this actually had to do with the reason he wanted to be on Big Brother.
I became obsessed with Big Brother because of the representation this show has offered.
So let me just, he became a fan of the show because the show does such a good job with representation. I just wanted to make sure I understood that the quote right.
Well, this is over 10 years ago, Rob.
Okay. Okay.
I think early days, Big Brother probably was
they were doing a little bit
ahead of the pack.
Yeah.
The problem is that they've about stayed there for 20 years.
Yeah.
So that's where we've gone downhill a bit.
Okay. Very interesting segment. Great to get Kevin's perspective on that. I was like, wait, hold on a second. That this seemed like very, very positive in terms of the 20-year history of the show.
Yeah, it's very much Big Brother telling itself, like, back in the day, we were at protests all the time. Now we're sitting in our, big mansion. But back then, we were such great social activists, right? We're such great people.
Okay, all right. Let's talk about Tyler and Danny. And Tyler, I don't know, Mary, that... this is a weird take that Tyler has overall. And I think that it is confusing if you are Danny. Like, what is he doing where he's basically like, is he basically quitting again of if you put me up, I won't be mad. You can do whatever you want because I deserved what I did last week. It's almost like that. He is kind of not playing, and I think that's very confusing.
Well, and Terrence talked about this some on the morning updates, but I actually really like this play. I think it kind of comes into a couple things. There's definitely the side of Tyler that has at times in this game been checked out, been wanting to go home, been wanting to quit. And so I think at some point if you reach that, at least, maybe some days you feel good about playing the game, some days you don't. But if you reach a point where you're okay going home, then you kind of got nothing to lose. So you can use it as strategy, but you can also use it as an out of telling yourself, telling other people, telling the show, if this doesn't work out, it's okay because I kind of wanted this. At the same time, the strategy element to it is, no one does this. This isn't a common thing of, oh, hey, I totally deserve it. Yep, I got you last week. Put me up on the block. I deserve it. It's in some ways, a very logical, it's a game, it's fine, I'm okay with it, I deserve it kind of way, which can confuse people. I've said in the past that this is something you sometimes see on Survivor when someone has an idol, for example, that they start to seem a little comfortable when they should be. Maybe some people are trying to get them out, but they think they're being sneaky about it. And they're like, did it leak? Do they have an idol? Because they seem too comfortable. They seem too safe. Let's instead vote for someone else and not vote for this person. Because when you are safe or when you aren't, if you think you're going home, sometimes playing that up and telling everyone, oh, it's fine. I understand if you vote for me, I'm going home. People are going to think you might have a power, that you might feel safe. Does he have the votes? Why does he feel so comfortable going up? And it's hard for really hardcore gamers to just believe, see it at face value and believe, oh, because they might be okay going home or they want to quit. So it can be a good thing to do. I don't recommend it like every single time, but if you are genuinely somewhat okay going home, I do, or if you really, really know you're on the bottom, go ahead and throw everything at the wall.
But Taryn, is there a strategic element to this, or he just doesn't care?
No, I think he cares. He does not want to be the first person in the jury. I do think that he is still kind of in that. It's like the last week he was full. He was full tilt. He was on full tilt. He was I just want to go home. And now I'm not going home. Like whatever. He's still kind of recovering from that. He's still kind of in that like post tilt haze of like. I guess I'm trying again, but I'm still pretty like, I'm a bit numb to it all, right now. And so I think he's sort of playing on that level. And I agree with Mary. I don't mind this sort of like, hey, throw me up there. I deserve it because I think it's better that he's addressing the fact that, that he betrayed her than like trying to hide it. Like trying to pretend it didn't happen or trying to be like, oh, I would never do that to you again. And in a million years, it was like, I am so totally loyal to you. Just like I was before, but I wasn't. Like he needs to change his behavior because if he does the same thing he did last time, she's going to go through the same motions in her head of like, yeah. Oh, this is what you did last time and you betrayed me last time. That said, I don't love how he's handled her overall because I don't think he's done enough of this. I don't think he's talked to her enough. I think he needs to be working on this relationship more, although I don't mind the approach.
Okay, Christian, can you talk to us a little bit about what you've observed from Tyler over this last, you know, 7 or 8 days in the house from this initial decision to I want to go home to where he is now?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, I mean, it's so hard to watch over, especially in this past week, because Tyler went from being in a really good position in the game, and then you just saw him feel so bad for bailing Davon to the point where he was like, I'm ready to go. I'm going to check out. And he was really ready to go home to see Angela again, to just get out of there. And then once Christmas shut it down, you can see the cogs turning again and him building back up the walls to be like, all right, I'm going to have to commit to this at least a little bit because I'm going to be in the jury. And so I'm just imagining like all of the anxious thoughts that are playing around in Tyler's head of one, how last week's move is being portrayed on the larger aspect of like Big Brother within like the Big Brother community. But also now that he truly did like knock down his game and now he has to build it back up from the bottom. Not necessarily like the total, like rock bottom, but he's still doing a lot of work to have to build it back up. And so I was curious when he said that to Danny, if he was trying to disarm her in a way, like does by naming that move, does it give Danny less credit when he ends up on the block? Because it wasn't a surprise to him. It wasn't, he almost volunteered the information out to be like, hey, it's fine. So does that take away Danny's game move in that moment? I think there's definitely some intention behind it. But again, agreeing with Taryn, I don't think that he took it. I would love to see him do more work with Danny.
I like that element of the diffusing the blind side, right? Oh, it's not as fun to put me up if I see it coming. You know, you're not going to get that big moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's saying like he's presenting the option to her on his own terms. Like, you can do this. It won't be sexy. It won't be big. You could also not do this and it wouldn't be a big deal. And when it's presented that way and you also have other people saying, don't do it, it's not as appealing, I think.
Well, I just want to understand then, why is this different and potentially better than when 2 weeks ago when Christmas told Enzo I would go up on the block as a pawn? Everybody said that that was a terrible move because once you put yourself in that position of being somebody who would go up on the block, everybody will look at you as somebody who could be a pawn every single week. And everybody really didn't like that for Christmas's game.
Well, a lot of this is also just perception of who you are in the house. I mean, in Christmas's particular example, she probably wasn't going on the block until she had said it. Mm-hmm. Tyler, 50-50 chance could be going on the block if someone gets, well, someone's definitely going to get pulled off with David. So he, you know, he's had this disagreement with Danny and he already knows that that's out there mm-hmm. as well. So knowing that he could, and even if Danny went around telling everyone in the house, hey, he told me he could, you know, he would go up. He said that he would be fine with it. Everyone already knows that she's tried to backdoor him. So he's being okay with a backdoor, which is different than volunteering to be a pawn who's not the real target. They're still going to look at him as the target. He's still a target mm-hmm. who's just, for some reason, okay with it.
Okay. Let's talk about Danny with Kevin. And Danny's going to break the news to Kevin that he's going to go on the block. But don't worry. I will protect you. I will keep the votes and make sure that you stay. You won't be any danger. You're just the pawn. Are you okay with this, Kevin? Taryn, Kevin tries to get out of this. He does not want to be the pawn.
He does an admirable job, too. You know, he talks a lot about, like, he reminds her that he's going to be in the jury house. And he's talking about how upset he will be if he's in the jury house. His birthday is on Friday, I believe. And so the thought of being evicted Thursday, sitting in the jury house by himself on Friday, that would really suck, especially if a friend did it to me. He's in a very polite way, sort of being like, first of all, why would you do this to me? I'm on your side. Second of all, if you do this to me and I go home, I'm going to be bitter about it, but not in a way that's going to make you feel like I'm threatening you. And third, don't do this to me because I'm on your side. Mm-hmm. And he does, like I said, he does well. He does not prevent himself from being put on the block, but he does come away from this conversation making Danny feel like she's doing something she doesn't want to do, that he is on her side and she might burn a jury vote by doing this. So why is she doing this? And she kind of feels like if she's nominating two of these people, Kevin's the one that she wants to keep around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kevin wants to ensure that if he is the pawn, that he wants to make sure that it stays that way.
Be able to secure that the pawn stays pawn.
The pawn stays pawn. That could be Kevin's new motto. Get the t-shirts ready.
No.
What? And the pawn stays pawn. Adios.
I do think he did a good job where, for once, the segments with Danny in the show talking about not wanting to put Kevin up came across much more genuine than they sometimes do. Sometimes it seems like, oh, it's the red herring, but he's still going to go up anyway, which did happen, but she definitely didn't want to. I just wonder, it's 6 weeks in. Is it still too early, or is there any way he could have pitched, like, here's the group, here's the alliance, don't put me up, let's move forward, here's like a more lasting plan, instead of just, I'm here for you though, we're close, don't put me up.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that intrigued me about Kevin this episode was like the diary rumor. He's like, I don't trust anybody but myself. I was like, not even Day? In like this scenario, you can't even trust Day. So like really Kevin has nowhere to go. And he's just like pulling at small little threads to see what he can put together.
Taryn, I really enjoy Kevin. I took him in the draft. I had high hopes for Kevin this season. But what is Kevin's, like in his mind, like what is the best case scenario for how this season is unfolding? Like what's his rose-colored glasses view of the house right now?
I mean, he sees it for what it is. He knows that he's screwed up and that he's in a terrible position. He actually doesn't know where he screwed up. I would tell him you got unlucky in the first week and you got put up as a pawn. But he knows he's in such a terrible spot. He understands that he's in complete survival mode right now. It's just a matter of like survive to the next week when you have another opportunity to win HOH. And if you win HOH, that's your chance to potentially turn things around, wield some power, and change up the game. And every single week, he's got to get to the next week. Maybe I can win. And it's just not working out for him because he's just not winning.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And then we get to our nominations. It's going to be Kevin. It's going to be David. We have one more conversation, actually, between Danny and Tyler. Mary, were you surprised when Tyler sits down with Danny? She says to him, do you want a donut? Tyler says no.
It never the right move to refuse anything that anyone ever... That was really... That's not life advice. This is just Big Brother advice, guys. Don't just accept anything that anyone ever gives you. I don't know. I think there's some trucks with some people offering kids candy. You should refuse.
Well, Rob, it should be pointed out, these are vegan donuts.
Oh,
so well, hold on. I mean, I probably would not be clamoring for a vegan donut, but isn't that right up Tyler's alley? Why would, like, I thought you were going to say that these were non-vegan donuts and then he couldn't have them.
No, no, they are up Tyler's alley. The problem is that Tyler is wasting away and he doesn't really have much of an appetite because his mental health has been deteriorating. And that's actually why she's offering him a donut. They cut this part out, but she says, please, you need to eat. Please take this donut.
Eat, you're wasting away. Yes.
And so, so if he does take it. And afterwards he says, thank you. It was delicious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I'm not sure I believe, but fine.
I thought they looked good. I thought they looked like good donuts.
Mm. That's how they get you.
That's how they get you to the vegan donut. The first one looks good. Yeah. But Christian, if you go like for like a job interview and they offer you water, you're supposed to take it, right?
You always take it. It doesn't matter what it is. You take it.
You take
it. If you're the host of something, yeah, and you say like, oh, would you like something to drink? I hate, it's always uncomfortable when there's just a bunch of no's. Like, but mm-hmm. I need to do something with my hands and my hosting though.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm a very practiced, no thanks. I say no to food a lot. Mm-hmm. Since I was a child, as somebody that did not like chocolate, it was very difficult for me, but, you learn to say no.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, I think that you got to look, even if you just hold it, I think you just say yes. And then
that's what I used to do. And then I'd be carrying around chocolate melting in my pockets. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? I am broken.
Look, I've been reading a book about some people who refuse food because they don't eat human food and they might be vampires and it might be Twilight. This is just sounding very, very much like you're trying to hide something, Taryn. You're declining all your food, walking around with chocolate.
Well, now I'm out. I'm a robot. I don't actually eat human food, but at that point I was still trying to hide it.
Yeah. Mary, is there a Twilight book that gets to where the vampires and the werewolves meet the robots?
Yeah, it's book number 5.
Okay.
You know, morning glory.
Okay. All right. Kevin and David are up on the block. Taryn, they tell us right away. David is using his disruptor power. They don't even tease it of, will David use the disruptor power?
And really, they should have, given how anxious the fan base was. like, oh my God, he didn't use it, guys! But this is better. It's going to be used. How is that going to change things? I think that's a pretty good cliffhanger.
All right, we're going to take a break just before we answer your questions about tonight's episode of Big Brother. But first, let me take a moment and thank one of our sponsors, our friends over at Quip. Quip is the supersonic toothbrush that is disrupting the toothbrush game. If you've been listening to this podcast for long enough, you've heard me talk about the Quip electric toothbrush. But when was the last time that you got rewarded for brushing your teeth? Well, with Quip's new smart electric toothbrush, good habits can earn you great perks like free products, gift cards, and more, because Quip has a brand new smart toothbrush where you can earn daily points for brushing for 2 minutes twice a day, earn bonus points for challenges like streaks, and you can redeem your points for Quip and partner rewards like a $2,500 bathroom makeover sweepstakes. If I won, I would definitely put the bidet into, I've been hearing a lot about it on Big Brother. I think that's what I would do. The grand prize is $1,500 Lowe's and $1,000 West Elm gift cards, so you could spruce up your routine, plus get things like refill credits and discounts and Quip products just for practicing good habit. The Quip Smart Brush for adults or kids connects to the Quip app with Bluetooth and tracks when and how well you brush, and you get tips and coaching to improve your habits. If you already have a Quip, you can upgrade it with the Smart Motor and keep the features you know and love with the sensitive sonic vibrations, the 2-minute timer with 30-second pulses for a guide and clean to make sure you hit all 4 quadrants of your mouth. It's slim, lightweight, and sleek with no wires or a bulky charger to weigh you down. I've used other electric toothbrushes. The Quip toothbrush feels different in your hand, and it's great that you don't have to go out and get things like toothpaste and floss because they come to you on a monthly subscription. And just for, oh, Mint, and they've got the new watermelon toothpaste just for Mickey, and the anti-cavity ingredients are there for strong, healthy teeth. Floss that expands to clean that comes with a refillable dispenser to reduce waste as well, and an eco-friendly solar battery charger comes to power your Quip with sunshine. So get your brush head, toothpaste, and floss refills delivered from $5 with free shipping. How smart is that? Start getting rewards for brushing your teeth today. Go to getquip.com/Rob right now to get your first refill for free. That's your first refill for free at getquip.com/Rob. That's getquip.com/Rob. Quip, better oral health, made simple and rewarding. Go to getquip.com/Rob. Now let's get back to talking about Sunday night's episode of Big Brother. We're going to take some questions and let's talk about the live feeds because, you know, exciting times in the Big Brother house. So let's go ahead and bring them in. Let's see how many questions there were. I can't imagine there's that many questions about the episode tonight, but let's just see what we have to say. What's the better move for Danny at this point? Targeting Tyler or weaponizing Tyler? What does weaponizing Tyler look like?
I think there's probably some room here for Danny if she really wanted to work Tyler. I think he's being somewhat genuine when he says, look, you have every reason to come after me. So if you don't, I'm yours. If she decides to actually work on that relationship and develop it some, I do think that she can gain an ally, which is something she desperately needs right now. The problem is she thinks she has Cody and Nicole when she doesn't really have Cody and Nicole. She's useful to them as far as they can use her, but they are not loyal to her in any degree. And you know, that's ultimate betrayal has happened. So I actually feel like this was a good opportunity for her to potentially pick a piece up. Clean slate. I have every reason to come after you, but I'm going to work on this relationship. I'm going to pull you in. I actually do think he would be grateful. And I don't think he would have a reason to turn on her at that point.
Okay. Let's take another question. This one is from Cupcakes. They vegan cupcakes. Have this many people wanted to throw a single competition in recent season? Is this a consequence of the Mega Alliance? Yeah, that's a lot of people that did not really want to play. Does not make for the most exciting endurance comp when you have so many people who are just trying to outlast a couple of different people.
It's a consequence of having Christmas on a season. Any season with Christmas, people just love throwing competitions.
Is that what it is?
And for slightly different reasons, there's not one person that everyone in this house feels good with, but
yeah, again, Rob, it's unfortunate that they cut the Christmas coaching from the episodes. It was so important to the game. What was really happening was they were hearing Christmas. Oh, lock your arms. Shake it up, guys. Shake it out. And they were like, I need to get off of this wall. Right. I don't care about this power.
So it wasn't so much like, you got this, you can do it. It was more like technique of like,
oh, yeah. Detailed, like,
don't lock your muscles.
Yeah. Your muscles work this way. So make sure you're doing this with your arms, guys.
Mm hmm. Okay. All right. Yes, Christian.
I mean, at one point she was just screaming about like the cold water is good because it's cooling off your muscles, and they're like all just shivering on the wall. I was like, you're not being helpful at all.
My favorite part was that she kept saying, okay, shake it out. Like when they would go upright, shake it out, guys, shake it out. And then like they didn't really like understand what she meant by that or like how it benefited them. So they'd sometimes just like take their arm and just kind of do like a. Huh? Like you're supposed to be like shake it out.
Yeah.
It was like I shook it, I guess, and then they go back.
Just please stop yelling at me, ma'am, if you can. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. From Rachel, who's the better prankster, James or Danny? We saw Danny's prank tonight. You don't think that she could top the prank king, though, right?
Never.
No.
Never.
Never.
Okay.
I was impressed with the fact that I could not see her at all. That was good job.
really, it would be Davon that would be able to tell you. I mean, she's been in both houses. She's played she's played two seasons with James.
See, this is the true, you know, 40 chess move here, is that Davon is actually the secret mastermind behind all of the pranks in the house. That no pranks happen unless Davon is there. That's not a coincidence. She is manipulating people into doing pranks so that they become less popular than her with the audience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just trying to see if at Asian James BB17 has commented and weighed in on the prank wars in the house. No, he has not. Not yet. Okay, maybe the Big Brother episode is delayed in his market. All right. Let's take a question from Anna. Why did Cody hang on as long as he did, even when Tyler was up there? He could have dropped before that. Look, what are you going to do?
I mean, I think right with Cody, if he would have dropped off any sooner, I would have been suspect. Like, when this competition started, I was like, this is really his to lose if he wants it. And so I was not like mad at him for dropping off as late as he did.
Let's do one more question and then let's talk about the spoilers. Okay. Big Brother Addict says, I know Day wanted to seem weak, but was falling off in 12 minutes all strategy, or was it actually weak? All right. Look, we don't know.
Yeah. I didn't love it. Even beyond the fact that I didn't think that she should have thrown the competition. She has people in the house that, when they want to work with her, they want her to be able to win competitions. And Enzo in particular, who's not exactly a reliable ally, but somebody that would have been, I think, reluctant to target her, that would have, you know, maybe kept her out of the crosshairs, was pissed at Davon for not lasting very long. He's like, well, what use is she to me if she can't win a competition? I think it kind of backfired a little bit there.
Okay. We'll see if Day can ever win a comp down the road.
Yes. I also don't know if the whole, like, oh, they're going to keep me here because they know that I'm terrible at comps, when you're also like pretty decent on the challenge, and at least some people probably know that. It's kind of...
Yeah, that's, did players scout the challenge, Taryn?
Well, they talk about how she does well at the challenge, but they do think that she's a bad competitor. The problem is that they also think David's not a great competitor. They already saw her as the worst competitor prior to the wall. So all she did was, I think, reinforce that idea a little bit. But so much so that it kind of pissed off Enzo, and it didn't really take her off anybody's radar that she wasn't already on. In fact, it put her on some radars. And like I said, I think she should have won this competition, or should have tried to win at the very least. So I didn't love the move, although I do think it made for good TV.
You know who might be the next breakout star of the challenge? Get Christmas on the challenge.
They keep telling her to. Honestly, she's like, oh, I don't know if that's my scene.
Oh, it's your scene.
They would eat her up on the challenge. They would love it.
Yeah, I feel like she doesn't want it to be her scene. Oh. Because she knows how much it is her scene.
You know it's not her scene? Big Brother.
But she keeps saying she wants to come for Julie Chen's job, so you never know.
Oh yeah, she seems like a natural host.
That's the problem. She thinks she's Julie Chen, but in reality, you know, she's, you know, Cara Maria or something.
All right. And then one more question. And this one's a visual. Okay. This is from Lauren, who says, who wore it better? We have Danny Briones's sweater. And then on the right, we have the blanket that was on the back of the couch on Roseanne.
I honestly was taken back at this visual. When I saw her in that sweater, I was like, I've seen this pattern before. Where is it from? Mm-hmm. Where is it from? So I'm so thankful for Lauren for tweeting this to just like close that loop in my head. I would say Danny wore it pretty well. I didn't really have too many questions about that sweater, but I was still shook.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the couch on this one, actually.
The couch wore it better?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just fits.
Mary, forget pumpkin spice latte season. Danny Briones is kicking off ugly sweater season in September.
You know what? I liked this shirt.
See?
The whole episode, though, I was like, oh, look at this. It's fun colors and fashion. But that tweet did crack me up. It was really
okay.
I just like that, like, because I saw that tweet and I normally just ignore all fashion related tweets because I don't care that much. So I just assumed that it was like, oh, they're she wore something that somebody wore in like the 80s or whatever. It wasn't until just now that I realized they were referring to the couch.
Yeah.
That was what wore the thing that she wore.
Okay. There you go. All right. That was a good one. Thank you, Lauren. All right. Let's jump in and talk about the spoilers and the live feeds and talk about where we're at. Again, this is a little bit of a sped up week here in the Big Brother house because the next episode is going to be on Tuesday. That means we will be back live with a recap on Tuesday night. LFC Roundtable is going to shift to Wednesday night. So we actually have a night in between the veto episode and the eviction night this week for the aforementioned CMAs coming to CBS on Wednesday night. So we will be back Tuesday night if you're going to be jumping on. Now, Slop tomorrow, Brendan and Rachel are going to be calling in to talk about everything going on here in Big Brother 22. Very much looking forward to that if you are leaving us. But for everybody else, let's talk about the spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Have you seen this? I got my megaphone to yell all my spoilers in over the wall.
We got to shut it down.
Was it you? Was it you tonight? Because here's what I'll tell you. The feeds are currently down. Apparently, there was another wall yeller.
Well, I'm on a podcast right now.
Hey, I'm just saying, movie magic can do wonders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who won the veto?
You're yelling the spoilers in.
Yeah, I mean, I thought she was trying to make it look like she couldn't win any comps.
Yeah. Okay.
Pick a lane.
All right. All right, Taryn, so a lot to update us on this week. And this has been, I think, the most exciting week so far. I felt like this on Thursday night. People were saying, no, it's going to be boring week. Boring stuff is coming up. But there's a lot of excitement in the Big Brother streets these days.
Yes, all it takes is for, you know, somebody else to win a competition, really.
Yeah, and powers to be. All right, so give us get us up to speed on where we are at heading into potential renomination.
All right, so here are the cliff notes here for you. After the nomination ceremony, David used his power to take himself off the block and Danny decided to renom Tyler. Tyler was the replacement for David. She immediately told Tyler, "You're a pawn. You are safe." And that was the truth. She wants Tyler to stay on the block next to Kevin.
Yes, in the meantime, the pawn stays pawn.
Pawn stays. Uh-oh.
You would be able to secure that. The pawn stays pawn.
Yeah, not looking good for Kevin. In the meantime, David is pretending that he did not save himself, that somebody else saved him. He's going around asking everybody in the house, "Did you save me?" Which none of them buy except for his own allies.
Bless his heart.
Yes. Then we get to the veto competition where Devon wins her first competition in three seasons.
What was the comp?
It had something to do with like stacking, I think, that some sort of like thing where you can screw yourself up. But I'm not entirely sure.
Was it a puzzle?
Exactly. It might have been some sort of puzzle. Mm. But that would be very fitting for Devon if she won a puzzle competition. Okay. So Devon has the veto and she wants to use it on Kevin, which would force Danny to put up yet another person on the block. Although we are not super solid on whether she is going to use it or not, she refuses to tell even Kevin. She has yet to have a final conversation with Danny about whether she's going to use it or not, but she said multiple times that she may not tell anyone until the ceremony because she kind of wants Danny to be blindsided by it and have to force her into making another on-the-spot decision. So we're not entirely sure, but my money right now is on Devon using the veto on Kevin, which would mean that Danny needs to name another replacement. At this time, she will nominate Ian, who will likely go home, but Nicole is not going to take that lying down, and she is going to be fighting to try and keep Ian in the game. So we might have a little bit of a proxy war on our hands between Cody trying to keep Tyler, Nicole trying to keep Ian, there's a lot going on. A
couple of things. Okay, Christian, how do you think Kevin will be able to take if Devon, his only friend in the house, does not use the veto on him?
I would be absolutely blown. Like, it just seems so dumb if Devon wouldn't use the veto that I would just, as Kevin already has a very distorted perception of what is reality in this house because he's just been on the bottom and lied to so much, I would just lose it. Like, there's no turning back after that.
He'd be very sad.
Yeah, he'd be very sad.
That would be a change for Kevin.
But the pawn could stay the pawn, you know?
Okay. All right, Tara, why does Devon want to blindside Danny?
So when Devon approached Danny the first time, she said, I really want to do this, but I don't want to upset you. Danny said, well, I don't want you to do it, but I don't want to tell you no. After that conversation, a lot of people in the committee alliance decided that they wanted to try and convince Devon that Kevin was safe and that she should not win the veto. And so they all went to Devon and Kevin and said, hey, Kevin has my vote. Kevin's going to stay. You don't even need to use the veto. And Devon was like, so they're trying to trick me into not using the veto, right? She has a theory that her, Kevin, and maybe David are the only people not in a big alliance. And so she wants to try and cause as much chaos in that alliance as possible by potentially forcing Danny into a spot where she hasn't thought about who she wants to nominate. But of course, Danny's already thought about who she wants to nominate. Mm-hmm. So I don't love this idea if it is what she is planning on doing, but it is sort of what she thinks. I've seen the term floating around vetoitis a little bit here for Devon, who is talking to Kevin like, hey, maybe I'll use it on Tyler. Who knows?
Wow, that'd be wild. Okay, if Danny doesn't use the veto doesn't replace Ian or Kevin with Ian, is there anybody else that's on the table?
Not at this moment, no. Hmm. Ian, she has said multiple times now, and this came from Cody. She was not planning on doing Ian until a situation where the feeds were cut again, probably because of Wally, where during that time, Cody convinced her that Ian was the only option. And so now she is saying Ian is the only option. So I fully expect that it would be Ian as the replacement.
Okay. Another level of this is that you talked about this on the live feed updates, that the house guests were spoken to about the controversial comments that they had been making jokes about Ian's rocking as part of his autism. And so this is something that is weighing on Danny's mind, correct?
Yes, it was, you know, for a while during this week, she kept saying, Ian, I cannot touch Ian. I can't put him on the block. I can't do it. But I've been saying all week, Ian is the only option. I expect her to reconsider. She did ultimately reconsider. She said to Cody, like, here's my thing about Ian. I'm going to look like the bad guy. I'm going to look real bad if I do this. And he said, we're all going to look bad.
Does Cody get what she's talking about?
I don't think he knows the full context, no. Mm. But that is one of the reasons why she really doesn't want to do it. One of the reasons why she is starting to be like, I don't even care anymore about tricking Devon. I just want her to not use the veto because I don't want to have to put up Ian because I will look really bad if I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, all in all, probably most people had it right to not want to win this HOH because she's now having to put up so many different people, which is never good. Mm-hmm. Some people saying, why is Ian the only option here? Mostly it's just, it's the only other main option that's not someone who's in one of her most recent alliances or longest lasting alliances.
Plus Enzo. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it so far, with the exception of Christmas one time, doesn't seem to be the kind of season where you're going to get Nicole or Cody or Memphis or Enzo volunteering to go up on the block, especially if it's volunteering to go up against Tyler, who a lot of them don't want out anyway. So that's where you're kind of caught in this Ian corner as well.
She's basically really declaring war if she puts anybody but Ian on the block.
Yes. Right, exactly. Which could be an option if she hadn't already put up Tyler and had instead tried to make some kind of deal with him and Kevin and other people.
All right, a couple things here. If it is Tyler versus Ian on the block this week, one, Christian, will Tyler campaign for himself to be voted out?
I don't think so. Not against Ian. There's somebody that he has a chance to stay against. I feel like he'll put it together because, again, he doesn't want to be the first person in the jury. He's talked very adamantly about not wanting to be that person.
Well, how badly does he not want to be the first person on the jury?
Well, Rob, he swung and he missed. Mm-hmm. And now it's too late for himself. Now he can't take another swing. Now he's stuck there.
Will that I had seen clips where Tyler would say that he will not stay in the jury if he gets voted out this week.
Yes. He's talked about it. He's talked about like, I'll just leave. Whatever.
What would be the difference between it? Like, wouldn't that also nullify his contract and would he not get paid? So what would be the difference between that? So I feel like if I was Bailey and Davon and I heard that Tyler said that, it's like, oh, wait, so you weren't willing to just walk away and save us last week. But now that you have to be in the jury house, you'll just walk away and then give up your money.
Yes. I mean, look. Talk to me when it actually happens, but yes, I see the point.
Yeah, okay. Mary, well, what do you think, though, that if it's Ian versus Tyler on the block, and now with a few days to think about it, somebody like Nicole could think about, like, oh, you know, that we already got spoken to about making fun of Ian, could somebody say,
Nicole, your brand deals are all in danger right now. Save Ian!
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of what the diary room has already told her. So I definitely think for Nicole, who's also the person in the house closest to Ian and has the most interest in keeping the other winner around, she's didn't want to get rid of Tyler, but I think she would be one of the biggest voices in Ian's corner here for many different reasons. I could see a scenario where Tyler goes home, especially if Day doesn't want to keep him for some reason, if David somehow changes his mind with everything. I mean, there's a lot of flexible people here who could just decide to do it.
Okay.
I feel like it's probably the most vote so far this season where I'm not 100% sure who would go.
I've been saying this all week. I think it's Cody's decision. If Tyler leaves, it's because Cody decided he was okay with Tyler leaving. Mm-hmm. And as of right now, he does not seem okay with that. It's just a matter of can they convince him somehow that that he should send Tyler home.
Hmm. Okay. All right. An intriguing week. I also wonder. And then this is the third scenario, Christian. We've seen Ian somewhat subdued other than a little bit like in the week that Kacer was going home where Ian was like shot out of a cannon for a day or two and then you know then quickly jumped you know back into hiding and being scared of everything that's going on in the house. Could this potentially being up on the block unlock Ian?
I think so. I mean, reading the live feed updates during the show tonight, it seems like Ian is also does not want to be the first person in the jury and is talking about quitting if he ends up in that space. He was talking to Nicole F about it.
Why? So what's his problem with being first? But can I just say that it would be my dream to be first person on the jury?
Honestly,
here's a whole house by yourself. Nobody can find you or talk to you.
Right. And after weeks of being in the house with all of these people, I would want a week to myself. But I can see a world where Ian turns up the game. But again, going back to what Taryn says, it really seems like it's up to wherever Cody swings.
Hmm. Okay. But I guess there's nobody to play backgammon with.
I mean, he's got
a handler.
The talking about quitting, I think, is one of the reasons, and using this threat of like, I just want to go home to my happy life is one of the reasons why we don't get all-star seasons that often.
Yeah.
Or we think about how they would need to be shorter seasons or smaller casts.
Absolutely happened in the first all-star season.
They literally escaped and they literally left where they were supposed to be.
I get that we're like, I don't like this talk either, but what I don't like is this is proof that they're not real all-stars because in the original all-star season, we never would have seen this happen. People like Bailey and Janelle would never talk like this, except they did this season on the feeds. Mm-hmm. Like, they're all talking like this. This is what happens when you pull back, players that have played before that feel entitled to whatever, right?
And especially with like Tyler and Ian, who have made it all the way to the end and seen how the proverbial sausage gets made all the way through, knowing that they probably have a very small chance of winning at this point. Like, why? Like, you know, like, what is it worth to be the first person out in the jury? Like, I definitely understand the frustration there. Clearly, I'm mad. I'd be mad if they actually went through with it. But it definitely seems like a logical place for their brain to land on.
Taryn, do we think that the post-jury buyback is in the cards for this season? They announced, like, hey, just so you know, the first five people are not coming back. But I know there's rumors about a potential 2-hour episode coming up in a couple of weeks on October 1st, I believe. Do you think that we could be looking at potentially one of these people coming back from the jury?
I don't think so. I think, you know, if it is October 1st, that's a bit early to do that, unless next week is a double and then they get another person out and there's four by you know the first. I guess it's possible that they could do something like that, but it feels weird. It feels weird to do that with the quarantine effect. Is this something that Ian talked about, that it makes more sense to do kind of a halting hex type deal or a reset button than a buyback? Because with a buyback, you're having to remove people and then reintroduce them. So, we'll see.
Okay, we'll see. Do we know when the veto ceremony is happening this week?
Should be tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay. All right. Any word on what the wall yeller was up to tonight?
I don't know.
Or feeds are just down right now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Nothing that's going to help anything.
Let me ask this question from the chat. If it was a tie between Tyler and Ian, potentially, do we know what Danny would do?
I believe that she would evict Ian. Right now she is saying that she might prefer to evict Tyler, but basically every time Cody talks to either Nicole or Danny, he turns them back around to his way of thinking. And if it does come to a tie, that's because all of the committee members voted for Tyler to stay and for Danny to stand up there without the support of Cody and break the tie against Tyler would be not great for her game. So I'm inclined to believe she won't do it.
She's going to kick Ian out of the house with her sole vote live on national television.
She definitely does not want to have to do that. No, that's why she's telling Nicole, you're not allowed to give her, give him a sympathy vote.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is that situation where it's going to end up with her needing to break the tie anyway, then she might as well just go ahead and try to get everyone in the house or more people on board with the Tyler thing and not make it seem like Tyler, I'm keeping you because the rest of the Alliance made me. But instead, like Taryn said before, form something with Tyler, whether it be, like people said, weaponizing him or just doing the good old fashioned, yeah. Hey, we hate each other. We've been trying to backdoor each other for weeks. No one will see it coming that we were really close all along.
But then it almost seems like she just put herself back at square one, right? Because I'm going to assume that she's going to play in the HOH again, and then she's just going to try and play until Tyler's out again. So she can't.
Like, exciting
week.
She's not actually going to use her power.
Okay. Why not? What is the problem?
She doesn't want to play again.
Why?
She shouldn't.
She doesn't want to reveal.
She shouldn't have been HOH in the first place.
She doesn't want to reveal that she had a power, and she doesn't want to play in the HOH again. She doesn't want to be HOH again. So she currently plans on not using her power. Nicole has been like, well, if you're not going to use it, if I win, will you use it on me? Mm-hmm. That's sort of where it stands here. She currently does not plan on using it again.
Here's what's so exciting about this week, because that for, you know, 6 weeks, 7 weeks before the season even started, everybody's talking about, oh, Nicole Franzl, why does she always have to get her way? That Nicole Franzl, she always, whatever she wants, she gets. Potentially, this is the week, everybody, where Nicole Franzl and the people that want Ian to stay, your interests are aligned. Nicole Franzl is on your side.
Yeah. It's
true. People just really aren't even going to know what to do with that. I wouldn't say that I'm a Nicole Franzl fan, but I've never hated her like the people hate her. So I'm excited to see what happens.
It's always funny to me, the second like a player that people hate, like their interests align with the audience, just like watching the impact that has on the audience in terms of like, hey guys, I feel like Nicole just isn't that bad.
Yes.
You know, I feel like, you know, I'm rooting for Nicole right now, guys. Is that okay? I feel like she's more self-aware lately. It is what happens.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, and that's like
she turns on Ian. She goes back to
Oh yeah. I already knew she was terrible.
Yep.
I did not buy into any of this.
And it's like this literal phenomenon called fundamental attribution error, where like when somebody's doing something that you like, you're like, okay, cool, because I think that and they think that, we must be good to go. But if I think something and somebody that's doing well is doing the opposite, it's all on them. Like they're in the wrong, they're bad. And this is why, I mean, I think Nicole gets villainized more so than she deserves. I'm not saying she doesn't deserve to be villainized, but she gets a lot more crap.
Don't worry, guys. I got this. Ian's not going out on my watch.
Sure, Nicole.
Don't worry, fans. I got you.
Yeah. I mean, she did have a conversation with Cody earlier today, and she may still have some fight left in her, but Cody basically was like, Ian can't stay. And she's like, but why? And he was like, because it will screw up our alliance. It's not worth
She does not like to hear no, Taryn.
Well, but, unless it's from Cody, because she was like, okay, fine. So we'll see where that goes. She might have just been placating Cody in that moment. She might still be pushing. But as I said, Cody seems to have a lot of influence here. The only way Ian stays if he goes up is if either Cody relents and everybody votes for Tyler to go, or Nicole and Danny both rebel completely against Cody. Ooh. Which just doesn't seem super likely to me at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, why does Cody get to have everything he wants?
Yeah, that's what I keep thinking. Like, for Nicole, especially, and I know it seems like the game has just started and there's still a lot of people in the house, but why is getting to the final six or seven or even eight with this alliance good for Nicole in the long run? If all of those people stay intact, like if I were, I'm sure that they're doing a good job making everyone feel good. But if I was any of the people in this alliance, Tyler, Danny, Nicole, anyone, I'd be thinking, who does it benefit to have this alliance completely intact at the final six and who doesn't? And if I'm Nicole, losing my main parachute right now, it's probably, you're not going to be in the best position then at that point anyway.
And this is why Cody has been in such a good spot for so long. And this is why mm-hmm. being in the center of a power structure like this is so valuable. You can think, oh, I'm the number two. I'm up there. And I'm right up there in terms of the, you know, the power in the power structure. But when it comes down to it, when Cody makes decisions, he has weight to that. Mm-hmm. He can either pull from the Danny, Nicole, Ian, Enzo side and strong arm Memphis and Christmas and Tyler into doing what he wants, or he can pull from the Memphis, Christmas, Tyler, Enzo side and strong arm Danny and Nicole into doing what he wants. And if they don't do what he wants, then he can play it up like, but if you don't do it, then we're going to lose this half. And if we lose this half, they're coming for all of us. And by all of us, I mean you. Mm-hmm. And that would suck for us. So you wouldn't want to betray me, right? Wink.
If someone like Cody is in alliance and talking to you and you're Nicole and you're realizing that the arguments are don't do this thing or do this thing that's going to hurt you, but don't do the thing that hurts the alliance. The code there is, don't do the thing or do the thing that's going to hurt you. Don't do the thing that hurts me, the leader of the alliance, because I made this alliance for my purposes, for me, and I'm the one benefited by the best. If you're in an alliance and you have to make a move that's bad for only you, then you're not in the best spot in that alliance.
And what's funny is Cody is using the example of, well, you see, in my season, and Nicole goes, your season?
Oh!
In our season, I had to cut people that I was close with that would have taken me to the final two because that's what it took to get Derek and I there. And in my head, I'm like, yeah, because in that season, you were the Nicole and you got dragged to the end by Derek. But in this, and I think he knows that. And in this season, he is the Derek forcing his Codys to cut their people.
Wow.
And this is why I know it's really frustrating, because it's not just, oh, there's the big alliance versus the few people on the outside. It's the fact that the people in the big alliance don't see which of them are actually in a good position, which of them aren't. And even though it seems early, now, next week, this is the time when the people at the bottom of that alliance need to be grabbing the people on the outside and making their own. And I know it's going to break up the alliance and it's going to break up the house, but if it results in you doing better and winning the game, or if it just results in more entertainment, please do it anyway.
Yeah. Mary, cut them some slack. These are only Big Brother All-Stars.
No.
They must know how this is going to play out or not. All right.
The problem is that they are all too, like, especially Danny, definitely Nicole, even Enzo, even Tyler to a degree. They're just too enamored with Cody. They put too much of their eggs in his basket, and now he's got all their eggs.
So I guess when becomes the right time to swing at Cody?
Now, whenever.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
Whenever you can get enough people to make it happen.
And do they all think they could beat Cody in the end?
Well, here's what Danny, I think, should be doing. The second she puts Tyler on the block, especially because it wasn't her plan to do so in the first mm-hmm. place, I mm-hmm. think she needs to go to Cody and say, look, I need you to be on board to take Tyler out. I just put him on the block. He now knows that I'm after him. I cannot have him stay in this game. If you're with me, I need you to be with me on this one. I just got screwed. I need your backup right now. Force him into a corner. Don't let him have any outs to say, oh, well, it's the alliance. Don't say, I want to keep Tyler, and then later be like, well, now I'm thinking about it. And he's like, no, we can't do it now. Force his decision, force his hand. And if he decides to go against you, then at least now you know where you mm-hmm. stand. And mm-hmm. now you know to start doing something else. The way that it is right now, she is still loyal to a guy that if she did try to force his hand, would probably turn on her at this point.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, let's take a couple more questions here tonight. This is a question with the, when will they stop with the it's too early to get him out crap? Never. We'll never stop with that.
Probably like final four.
On the finale, maybe. That's it. Okay. This person said, did you see the Stephen Colbert commercial during the episode that goes, I'm being told I'm contractually obligated to finish out the show. Was that Tyler in a Stephen Colbert mask? Come on. Tyler does not care about contractual demands. All right.
This is Mission Impossible. We saw Tyler do it last time he played. That he was on a TV show while on Big Brother. Mm-hmm. So I think he did, he's pretending like he was trying to leave the house. In reality, when he was in that diary room, he actually was leaving the house so that he could put on this mask.
Mm-hmm. Was he on a TV show last time?
Yeah, remember it was like Slam-a-Whammo or something. Yeah, TKO.
Oh, yeah. Slam-a-Whammo. Yeah. He was literally on TKO. I forgot about that. But it wasn't. Yeah. Did they cast him for TKO and then they should put this guy on Big Brother?
He was in the casting pool originally, but yeah.
Slam. Okay. Colby says, is the bidet still in the house since Kaser was evicted? Haven't heard Enzo talk about it. Taryn, do we know if the if Kaser was serious about the bidet leaves with him?
Look, Kaser, he's too generous. He decided to let them keep it.
Yeah.
They made a really giant version. They put it outside and put the spritz of water on everybody.
Yeah. That should have been the wall comp. Okay, and then Rennie is the winner of Big Brother 22, says, somewhat spoilery, but if Tyler actually leaves the jury house, do you think America will get a vote at the final two, or will they throw in a Michelle Fitzgerald remove a jury member twist? All right, Taryn, have you allowed your brain to wander here yet?
I mean, I'm inclined to think that they would do an America vote.
Ooh. That would be good this season.
That's what they've done in the past. So.
Yeah. Okay. Let America vote on the final two. I like that. They haven't done that in a while, though, right?
No, not since BB 11. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, it could be. Christian, could this be a harbinger of a Kevin win?
I mean, probably not the way that he's been playing. But
it would be a harbinger of a final three finish for Kevin.
Okay. All right. Right there. All right. And then. From BBFan325, hey, Robin gang, what do you think is the best move for Dani this week? Will she see that Cody and Nicole are leaving her out in the cold water of the Big Brother house? Probably not. I mean, maybe if ultimately there is a push to save Ian, but it seems like that Cody and Nicole won't be on the same page about that.
Yeah, I mean, she like Cody and Memphis were talking earlier, saying that if Kevin stays on the block, Dani has been saying that she can't betray Day, she can't have Kevin then leave. Tyler would need to go, but Cody and Memphis agreed that if Kevin stays on the block, sorry, Dani, we're gonna send Kevin home. So I would imagine that might tip her off, but I would also imagine that Cody's just gonna smooth it over with her because that's what always happens. She always. Falls back in line.
Christian, can you believe Memphis is still in this game?
No, honestly, he was mentioned during this podcast, and I had to like shake myself a little bit and just remind me that he was still in the game. I mean, as much as Julie Chen mentions him, you'd think that I would get it in my head that he was still here, but no, he just fades away on all of the live feeds.
Mm-hmm.
He woke up this week because he's just been hibernating while his mastermind alliance has been steamrolling the game. And this week, he heard people arguing and trying to ruin his alliance, and he woke up. He was like, "Oh, guys, what's going? Why are we screwing? Why are we putting alliance members on the block? What is happening here? Stop this! Stop this!
Knock it off!
We've got a good thing going. Everybody get back in line. We've got another few stops on the train before we start shooting each other. Okay?
Yeah. He's like the people on that movie Passengers, right? Where he's supposed to make it to the final six. Before he woke up, but he accidentally woke up too early and is like, guys, I was almost done and now I'm not going to get all the way to the final six with my alliance intact.
Yeah. I do think that he will wake up for an Ian on the block week. I think that he will be making sure to whip those votes together to make sure Ian goes home if he gets to the block.
Yeah. This is for Dan.
Revenge for Dan. Okay. All right. Christian, do you have any other thoughts about the house guests that you want to share while you're here with us?
I mean, honestly, I'm always just here to see what Devon is going to do next. I'm interested to see if she's going to keep up this acting gig. If I'm David, I would maybe take an acting lesson or two from her because nobody was buying it this past week. But then I'm really also, as much as it pains me to say, I'm interested to see what happens with Nicole after this past week. Having Tyler and possibly Ian up on the block, I think might wake her up a little bit, especially if Ian goes home. She's going to be in a, not a bad position, but she's going to have to just recalculate a little bit. So I'm interested to see what happens there.
Yeah. I'd like to see Nicole Franzel on tilt for this week. That might be worth it if Ian ends up going home to see how she reacts to that.
I mean, it'll be a lot of tears. And so I don't think that I'm ready for it from that standpoint. Mm-hmm. But after that, when she starts getting her head back in the game, I'm here for it.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Taryn, I think that would be exciting to see Nicole with a vendetta.
I mean, it would be fun. Just this morning when she was talking about it, like, Nicole was saying things like, why? Just because Day wins the veto, I have to lose one of my close allies instead of her? How does that make sense? It's like,
game on, motherfucker.
It's exactly what makes what's hold on. That's what happens. That's because she won. She won the thing.
Yeah. Yeah. She does not take it well when things are not going her way. It'll be great to see.
But also, I feel like there might be this miscalculation in Nicole's head about like where she is in Devon's order, and like it feels like she seems like she should like Devon should consider Ian more because Ian and Nicole are close, but it. She's just like grappling with the fact that Devon doesn't care. Like it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Okay. Taryn, I also was happy to see over the weekend that we didn't blow the surprise when we spoke with Bailey this weekend about that Swaggy C was going to buy her a Tesla, unlike one of the other exit interviewers.
Unbelievable that that they would ruin the surprise like that, Rob. I'm glad that we have some professionalism between the two of us.
The internet, the place where it's most known that we keep secrets. Like, how dare anyone do that, though?
Yeah. Like, I'm just happy when people are like, somebody screwed up and it wasn't me. That's right. It. Okay. All right. Let's talk about what else is coming up here on Rob Has a Podcast and our wrap ups and everything else going on the B&B this weekend. The great, I'm sorry, not the B&B, the Love Island recap. There's Jenny Autumn snuck in there. Jenny Autumn with the Love Island recap with Kirsten. I saw the picture of Jenny Autumn. I thought we were talking B&B. Ovi joined David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis on Why Blank Lost. I'll tell you about what did Bailey do wrong this season. Then there's Jenny Autumn. She's on the PM. So much Jenny Autumn on all of the shows this weekend. She's also on the B&B. So catch Jenny Autumn on Love Island and the B&B this weekend. By the way, Taryn, Ovi is locked in. Ovi has a Ovi Damas.
Oh. Well, Ovi's prediction was that he's 4-for-4 right now, all the way up until Devon winning the veto. But he predicted that Memphis would end up on the block and that Memphis would end up going home. Mm. That does not seem super likely at this time.
Put Memphis on the block for renominations. That's what Ovi's tweet said to do.
Ovi's the one yelling in the back. He's making the predictions happen.
Listen,
he's a fraud.
Taryn, come on. Ovi does not go and represent himself to be another person and put opinions out into the world under another identity that's not him. That's not what kind of thing that Ovi does, Taryn.
Of course not. Never.
He's not that kind of guy.
Never. Ovi's a stand-up guy.
He doesn't pretend to be somebody he's not. Like that wall yeller.
Yes, I could swear on Ovi that that Ovi is just Ovi.
Okay. All right. Let's check in. The BB22 roundtable. Listen to it this morning with Kirsten and Josh Williams. Check out the Legacy Watch and see where the movement is from everything going on the Saturday Night Legacy Watch roundtable. Taryn, any other highlights from last night?
We talked through this veto situation and you know, Davon's choice and Danny's choice and the house's choice. Mm-hmm. And we talked about Tyler and where his legacy is going. It's not looking right. Great.
Okay. All right. And what do we have going on here? Okay. This is the live feed update every day.
There's two me.
Taryn with Taryn is the host and the guest. There you go. Every day with Taryn.
Guesting on my own podcast. Yeah.
Boom.
There it is.
It's human Taryn and robot Taryn.
Yeah.
All right. There you go.
Look, I've made copies. It's what can I say?
All right.
How do you think I do this job? Think one person could do it?
Yeah. All right. Tomorrow, we got the slop going on. Brendan and Rachel will join us. Puya will be with me for the whole ride. We'll check in with Maggie Morgan as well. So very excited to check in with Brenchel. Had what a photo shoot Brenchel dropped on the world the other day.
Yes.
Yeah.
So good.
We'll talk about that. Okay. Send in your slop
detail every photo.
Hashtag slop RHAP. And then find out what David's going to do on Tuesday night. I'll be live with Brent, Melissa, and Sasha Joseph coming up on Tuesday. So be on the lookout for that at Tuesday night at 8:15. Sunday Burquest, you could support her battle with cancer. Zeke and the cast of Millennials versus Gen X, they have a special Sunday Burquest buff. You can check it out at ZekerChief.com. $25. All the proceeds are going to Sunday Burquest. And then we have, Patreon. RobHasAWebsite.com/patron. Check out everything we have going on in our patron community over on Facebook, our Discord, our patron podcast feed. We're doing our Big Brother pregame show on Thursday nights, an hour before the episode. Check that out. Plus, Patreon now offers the yearly annual subscription. You pay for 11 months and you get 12 over on robhaswebsite.com/patron. All right. And follow us on social media. Rob has a podcast on Twitter at RHAP Grams on Insta. All right. There you go. All right. That's
Rob, you forgot to plug the new show we're launching. We are going to be covering Slam-O-Whammo this
Slam-O-Whammo.
Season.
Slam-O-Whammo.
I hope you guys are excited.
Join myself, Taryn, and who's
Tyler from Inside the Big Brother.
Tyler Crispin, yes. For a rewatch of season one of Slam-O-Whammo.
Special guest Kevin Hart.
Special guest.
Here we go.
Hashtag Slam-O-Whammo. Okay. It'll be very exciting. All right. Christian, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Christian, where can people keep up with you?
Yeah, you can keep up with me at _KROBZ on Twitter and Instagram. So that's just _KROBZ.
Okay. All right. Christian, very fun to catch up with you tonight. Of course, Mary. I know you talked about the Twilight podcast. Where can we check that out?
Yeah, you can check that out at KowskiCast.com. That's Cow with a K. We've got Twilight stuff coming out. If you're a fan or a hater, we welcome both. We got some backlog Riverdale stuff. And actually, tonight or tomorrow morning, look, I'm not Taryn. I don't have copies. So it's a one-man show over here. But it's just as soon as I can very slowly edit, then we have a new show launching, which is really, really quickly recapping the first season of Haunting of Hill House before the second season comes out.
Is that the whole title?
That is the title.
Recapping the first season of Haunting of House of Hill House.
How fast?
I thought it was snappy. That was good. Like multiple episodes a week, 30-minute episodes.
What is the Haunting of Hill House?
It's a Netflix show that's sort of an anthology, the second season in quotes, because it's like a the haunting of something else with different people. But it's sort of horror show, really well done.
Spooky.
It is kind of, but it's good. I hate horror stuff, so it's going to be a fun podcast.
It was like a drama that like sometimes scared you. It was good.
Yeah, for sure.
It's really good.
And Mary, I loved how fired up you were tonight, that you were, even when you weren't in the chat, you were all caps, and that was appreciated.
I try.
Yeah.
I like being all caps.
Mm-hmm. I you didn't wear a cap, though.
But what I am doing is next time I'm on the podcast, you'll see this blanket behind me. I'll turn it into a sweater.
Oh, I
so then
think
you up more better.
That'd be great. Okay. And of course, Taryn, you'll be with us tomorrow morning live. Where else can we check out what you're doing?
You can Slam-O-Whammo. Yes, Slam-O-Whammo coverage heading your way. You can find it on twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. You can also find me on Twitter @ArmstrongTaryn.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for checking us out here tonight. Slop tomorrow will be kicking off at 5 p.m. Eastern for the Slop. And then we'll be back with a live episode recap on Tuesday night. So hope you can join us then. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.